This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Florida Republican Congressman Daniel Webster, who represents the Sunshine State's 8th Congressional District. As this debate over the debt ceiling, how to resolve it, whether to resolve it, goes forward, Congressman Webster has stepped in to address one of the biggest concerns that people have, especially in his state, and that's about where the government would prioritize its spending if, in fact, we don't reach a conclusion to raise the debt ceiling and the United States government is forced to prioritize the $200 billion that comes in each month in ways that make sure we don't default and also honor other priorities. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, great to be on.
I think most of our listeners, I'm sure you are very familiar with this exchange between the president and CBS news anchor Scott Pelley from just a few days ago.
There are about $20 billion worth of Social Security checks that have to go out the day after the government is supposedly going to go into default.
Well, this is not just a matter of Social Security checks. These are veterans checks. These are folks on disability and their checks. There are about 70 million checks that go out.
Can you guarantee as president those checks will go out on August the 3rd?
I cannot guarantee that those checks go out on August 3rd if we haven't resolved this issue, because there may simply not be the money in the coffers to do it.
And so that has obviously been an issue of great controversy. And as a result of, I'm sure, that as well as just concerns by your own constituents, you have come forward, sir, with what you call the Prioritized Spending Act, meaning that if we do get to that point where the debt ceiling is not raised and we're past the point of August 2nd, that the government would have to spend on certain priorities first. Explain what your legislation says.
Well, what it says is that, you know, there are priorities of spending. And first of all, the initial objection by the administration was the fact that we would default on our debt, that we wouldn't pay our debt and our creditors. And so that's the first thing we would do is pay our creditors. The second thing is we would also pay those who are in the military or on active duty. Third, we would pay Social Security. Fourth, then we would pay Medicare. Those would be the priorities. And in the end, there would be $30 billion a month left over, which could be used on whatever other priorities they might think there are. To me, that's a picture of where we ought to be and what we ought to be doing. I know I got a letter from 60s Plus that said, you know, they were just excited about the fact that we had protected the seniors. Others have said, you know, the idea of paying our debts first, even though I wasn't part of accruing those debts, I'm here now and, you know, we got to do something about it and we got to pay them to keep us from defaulting. We do that and then we also pay our military. Those are in harm's way. So to me, those would be the priorities I have set. This bill produces that and says that. It's not the solve-all. It's a backstop. In every baseball game, there's a backstop. And it's to keep the fans from getting hit by a foul ball, and it's to keep the catcher from having to run a mile to get an overthrown pitch. So, you know, you don't use it on every play. Sometimes you don't even use it at all in a game, but it's got to be there. And to me, that's what we need. We need prioritized spending in this country, and this is a picture of if we were to reach that debt limit, we still collect monies. It's not like we're going to quit paying taxes. We'll have monies, and so this would be the priority of which how our debts would be paid, and our military and our Social Security, Medicare.
What have you heard from your constituents? How concerned, how confused potentially are they by what the president and others in his administration have said about what may or may not be possible to be paid come August 2nd? As you have pointed out, there's the money to cover those three major priorities in your legislation, but how well do the folks in your district understand that?
Well, we have done some pretty good communicating with them and let them know that this is a picture of what we ought to be doing. And we've gotten awesome agreement and excitement about the bill. To me, also, I think that there is a lot of information out there, and you have all these people presenting plans to fix the debt ceiling, and from the Gang of Six to the president and vice president and a few other senators and some others. The House is the only one that has actually passed a bill that says here's cut, cap, and balance. That's our bill. We've sent it to the Senate, and they can have six senators get out there and say all kinds of things, but show us a bill. Pass something. Let us know what your position is so we can negotiate and come up with a plan. And because we haven't done that, to me, it makes even more important this Prioritized Spending Act.
the Senate Republicans are doing their best to get a vote on the Cut, Cap, and Balance Act. But even as they do that, most of them admit that it's an uphill climb at best to see that be approved. As you look at some of the other ideas being bandied about, whether it's the Gang of Six or the McConnell backup plan, which others have called a backstop from the other side of this perspective, do either of those appeal to you as the framework for moving forward past August 2nd?
I'll tell you what's exciting is the Senate has actually said something. And to me, I don't know what kind of plan it is. It's certainly a couple of pages long, and that's not really what I would consider a bill, but at least it's something. And my thought is that they should put it in bill form, get it scored by the CBO, and pass it and send it to us. They don't have to vote on our stuff. They need to vote. If they have a position, vote on it. That way, conferees can be appointed and they can work out the difference between the two bills. But as long as they don't have a position, it's very hard to negotiate against yourself.
Where does your conference line up right now? A lot of folks have said that eventually they'll probably sign on. Others say, no, this is exactly why this party's in the majority in the House of Representatives right now. And so they need to toe the line on what they promised their voters back in November. What do you expect the House to be willing to accept and not willing to accept here?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I can't speak for everybody. I can speak for myself for sure. And that is this. I believe it's imperative that we negotiate from the other side's position. And until they take one, it really makes it difficult. And to me, if we continue in this mode of negotiating only our own plan and that's it, we're going to have a tough time convincing anybody that this plan should pass. I mean, that's the difficulty. All they've got to do is take it up and kill it. But then again, show us a plan you can pass. And that's how the legislative process works. Both sides, we're not faulting them for having an idea. What we're faulting them for is not having an idea.
Do you feel that without a plan that's either somewhat close to what you passed earlier this week, or at least honors the principles by which you've stated that you would vote for a debt ceiling increase, that at least you, speaking for yourself, would be willing to go past August 2nd and let the Prioritize Spending Act kick in and leave it up to the president to make those priorities?
Yes, I am. Here's my one bottom line. My one bottom line is we've got to cut today. Whether it's the president's $4 trillion budget, it's the Gang of Six $3.7 trillion deficit reduction, or there's been talk about 2.4 and 2.0, 1.7, 1.5, all of those over a 10-year period of time, not one of them cuts anything in the current budget. None of them want to do anything before the election. We cannot go back to the voters and tell them, yeah, we're going to do something, but it's not going to be till next year. We cannot do that. So to me, the most important part of any kind of deal that they put together is they have to be immediate cuts in the budget.
Congressman, thank you very much for your time. We'll keep track of your legislation as well.
Hey, great to be on.
Thank you, sir. Florida Republican Congressman Daniel Webster represents his state's 8th Congressional District. Again, he's sponsor of the Prioritize Spending Act. To learn more about it, you can visit his website, webster.house.gov. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.